This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
And welcome into a Write That Down Wednesday edition of
Write This Down.
Purple Daily. Daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. Finding a top high-end franchise quarterback is a good step in that direction, boys. So we'll get to the accountability session, we'll get to the predictions, we'll shout out Quick Trip a little bit later on as well, the official presenting sponsor of Purple Daily. But a reminder for you guys that the draft party sold out about a month ago, 3 weeks ago, within 72 hours at the Fillmore, which is kind of mind-blowing for us. We were looking for a bigger venue. We thank you guys for showing your support. It's shaping up to be an absolute blast on Thursday, April 25th for the first round. And we have found a way to scrounge together 10 additional pair of VIP tickets at scorenorth.com/party. They will go on sale at 10 a.m. Central Time on Wednesday, April 3rd. So 1 week from today, those last 10 pair of VIP tickets will be available at scorenorth.com/party. Obviously, it's a very small amount. They will be sold on a first-come, first-served basis. The tickets are $100. The VIP ones are. And you'll get a Score North beanie, a meet-and-greet with the three of us, food, drink vouchers, and also you'll get your Purple Daily flag so you can wave it with Judd when the Vikings make their franchise-changing pick.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah. You'll have over 1,000 people waving flags back at you. So bookmark the website, scorenorth.com/party. And a shout out too, to our friends at Popped Corn, who are providing a bag of popped corn for all VIPs in attendance and everyone in attendance, even the general admission. You'll get a Purple Daily flag courtesy of Popped Corn. Gentlemen, how are we doing? How are we feeling today here?
Write this down.
On this, write that down.
I'm off to a rough start. I'm not going to lie. Off to a rough start.
Okay. Well, yep. I'm excited because you know what this weekend is, boys? You know what we got this weekend?
Oh, we got UFL.
We got UFL.
We got UFL.
The UFL's back, baby. The UFL is back.
Dude, I think I'm in on this.
Extensive research last night. I only have one prediction. I wanted to make multiple, but there's some draft things I still got to get off my chest to stack. But, yeah, UFL starts this weekend.
The Stallions.
The Stallions.
The Battlehawks.
Battlehawks.
Now,
the
Panthers.
Roughnecks. The Showboats.
Now, when does our Arena League team start? That's next month?
That's like, yeah, April, May, I believe. April, May.
Ricky Foggy's club?
Yeah. That'll be
pretty
fun.
I'm excited for that, actually.
Yeah, I think I'll hit a game if you guys want to go with me. Very excited.
Sure.
Yeah,
any,
yeah.
Any sort of football fix we can get, you know, between the draft and training
camp. And we can scout.
We can scout.
Like if you see a burner?
The little Purple Daily brunch beforehand. I mean, I'm all for this. Let's do this.
Dude, let's do it.
Oh,
get you out of the house.
Did you say brunch?
Yeah.
Did you say brunch?
I did say brunch.
A little Red Rabbit, maybe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into this. We've already wasted enough time here.
Hey, I'm giving it suggestions.
Here's how Write That Down works. Three Vikings or football-related predictions from everybody each week. They must be quantifiable. We keep track of completion percentage and touchdowns on the show. And listeners, if you want to participate like Zachariah is about to, you can send Declan a message through the Score North app. We'll get you scheduled for some time in the coming week. So we actually had no predictions come off the board because we're kind of in the middle of, you know, there's no games, there's no drafting. So we'll give you predictions that are still on the board and discuss and reminisce. Okay, Judd, you have the tush push being outlawed this offseason. This would be the week that that happens, right?
I thought they said they're keeping it.
They are.
Are keeping it officially?
Yeah, no, it's wrong. Yeah, no, that should be red.
I think you're good to take it off, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think they basically said we're not going to penalize teams that are good, i.e. Philadelphia. Here's the problem. It's going to stay around. Jason Kelce retired.
and he is the centerpiece of the Tush Push.
He's what makes – he's the lead singer of the Tush Push band.
He is.
Apparently Saquon tried to convince them. He went on their podcast and said, can you come back out of retirement? I would have really appreciate running right behind you if I'm now going to be a Philadelphia Eagle.
He's not wrong about that. No. Yeah. So this was wrong, though. Okay. Self-report.
All right. We'll take this off the board. Yeah, I think, too, if you're Jason Kelce, if you felt like this team was headed in the right direction to win a Super Bowl, you probably play one more year. But it's kind of telling that both him and Fletcher Cox decided, nah.
And their assistant to the regional manager, basically, of Howie Roseman, he just stepped down like 20 minutes ago. They're like number two just stepped down in the Eagles front office. So, yeah, vibes aren't great in Philly.
I think Nick Sirianni might be done after this coming season.
Seems to be spiraling for him. Okay, a prediction still on the board for me here. I said there'd be a credible report sometime before training camp that the NFL will be seriously discussing changing the touchback fumble rule out of the end zone.
I believe that they said they're going to leave it too.
Damn it.
I think it's wrong.
You know, I've kind of changed my tune on this because I've always been in lockstep with you guys and a lot of football fans. But if you're a defense and your goal is to prevent the ball from getting into the end zone, and the offensive team fumbles it through the end zone, I think you've done your job. I don't think the offense should get another crack at getting the ball back.
But why do you get the ball at the 20? You know what I'm saying?
Offense.
Cool. You get the ball at the 1 then.
Why is it a touchback?
It's such a ridiculous swing of events.
How about?
By the way, Justin Jefferson reaching out for the pylon, that had nothing to do with the defender knocking it out. He just slipped out of his hand.
Well, and the problem is it scoots out like the side of the end zone barely.
It's
like
an
if that ball had
scooted
out the one,
yeah.
The Vikings keep it. But because it goes around, how about this? How about we change this rule, but we allow the hip drop tackle to still be. That's the thing I don't get. Like of all the things that could benefit the defense, this is the rule?
Yeah, there are some goofy ones.
Oh, actually, as I go through the spreadsheet here, this is one of the oldest predictions still on the board here. I totally missed this morning. I'll just bring it to you guys. I said the NFL would replace the onside kick with a new solution by the 2025 season. So, obviously, they overhauled the kickoff, and they changed the onside kick to where now you have to declare it in advance,
yep. Right.
But you can put six guys on one side. It doesn't have to be evenly.
Oh, they did change that part? I didn't see that part.
I'll leave this on the board because we can check. I'll make sure. I think a tweak of it would be a new solution. It doesn't have to be an overhaul. It's a new version of the onside kick.
But if you do declare, and by the way, this was not fixed. I'm not debating your prediction, Phil. But this was not fixed. So you now have to declare it, and it goes back to where it was, right? So like everyone lines up where they used to line up, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But then you can overload a side.
Yep.
Can we just go to the fourth down try?
Well, and it's funny because that's what the spirit of my prediction was. Make it a fourth and
the
20 or something,
rule.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But the way that I worded this, it could really be any change of the onside kick format. So I'll report back on that one. Okay, listeners, Jeff said the Vikings will trade down to one of the last five picks in the draft.
All right.
It's funny because they traded. He had this prediction before they made the trade to get back in the first round. I think it's probably more likely if they somehow hang on to the 11 and the 23, they could trade back from 23 into that 28 to 32 window. So
this is very much on the board.
Jeff is maybe a little closer than he was before. And then Declan, you said at least one of these three, Joe Burrow, Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield, will be on season two of quarterback. Well, the curveball is we aren't getting season two of quarterback yet. We're getting season one of wide receiver, but I think this stays on the board until we get a season two of quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Unintended consequence prediction. It's very Judd-like.
So with that, these numbers are a little bit wrong here on the screen for the YouTube audience. I'll give you the updated ones from the database. So Declan and myself are both at 50% completions, listeners at 44%, and Judd should be at 30% completions. Three people have touchdowns. Judd is the only one without a touchdown. And then for career stats, again, these are just a little bit off because of the accounting problems here today. So Declan's at 36.3%. Judd's at 35%. I'm at 33.5%. Listeners just under 23%. And I have the most touchdowns with 47. But you guys are building your touchdown resume. So there you go. Those are your Write That Down predictions, your accountability session here. Kind of a calm before the storm on Write That Down right now. Let's get Zachariah in the house. He is joining us as a guest listener predictor. You're skipping out on work here right now. What's going on, Zachariah?
Oh, you know, I took a half day at work and came home to throw on a jersey, you know, to hop on, represent, you know.
It's Adrian, little Adrian show. Peterson.
Yeah,
2010.
Yeah. I got this for my 14th birthday.
Wow. Oh, that's awesome.
But this was not my first thought. I opened up my closet only to realize that with the departure of Danielle Hunter, I do not have a single active Viking jersey in my closet anymore. So, yeah.
You know, I think we've always kind of the jersey rule on our shows has always been players who are older than you or players that are nostalgically funny in some way. And like Adrian Peterson checks for sure one of those boxes. I think pretty quickly he's checking the second one. Now he's 39 years old and he is now saying that he'd like to come back and play in the NFL again, in case you're wondering whether he needs money. Should right. anyone give Adrian Peterson, 39-year-old Adrian Peterson, just one shot in the NFL? He should, you know, he should start in the UFL, actually.
How about the UFL? I was going to say this league is just starting. Dude. The paychecks they'll clear for at least a couple of weeks.
He would draw some eyeballs. I would be more 100%. Likely to watch a UFL game if Adrian Peterson, age 39, was a starting running back.
Well, you remember the AAF that survived for half a season?
Yep.
I was a big Trent Richardson fan.
Did he play in the AAF?
Yes. And that is how I chose. I loved him in Alabama. And that's how I chose what team to root for, you know, the 8 weeks that they survived. So, you know, he would draw in, some viewers if Adrian Peterson hopped on.
What did the two A's stand for? It was like the Alliance of American
Football.
Yeah.
It was, I watched like a half and it was awful. What the former golfer played for San Diego, right? Philip Nelson,
quarterback.
Nelson, yeah.
I think he was with the I don't know what they were called, but the San Diego franchise.
I don't even remember what the team awful. I rooted for name was anymore. That's how short a period of time it was. But I remember Trent Richardson being there.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
It's hilarious, man. So, well, Zachariah, we'll start with you here on the predictions, and we'll each make one prediction. We'll take three trips around the room for a total of three. So it'll go Zachariah, Judd, Declan, and I'll round out the lap.
Write this down.
Fire away, Zachariah.
All right. So my thought process was I'm going to run this like KOC runs his offense. I'm going to take, you know, 8 to 15 yard shots at a time and then one deep shot. All right. So
okay.
I'm going to take that 15 yard dig route or something like that. So by the time the 2024 draft is complete, Minnesota will not have picked a player with any of their original picks unless they reacquire that pick in a trade.
Wow.
So as of right now, they have two of their own original picks. One of them is 11, and I don't remember which one another one is. But by the time the draft is over, they won't have drafted with any of their original picks unless somehow it's already been traded and then traded back to them in the second trade.
I see. So throughout the entire seven rounds, you're saying, right?
Correct.
Okay.
I love your contingency though. Like, that's genius.
Yeah. I just know how much Kwesi loves to trade. And I'm like, I think it's their first and one of their sevenths, isn't it? The one that they got back for Josh Dobbs.
I think that's right. Let's see here. They have, so they have their first round pick, and the 108 is their original pick. So the fourth round pick is an original pick.
The rest are all from trades.
I can absolutely see Kwesi trading down and then packaging picks back up and like moving around and somehow reacquiring one of the picks that he traded away earlier. So just in case of that.
Yeah, we used to call Rick Spielman Trader Rick, man, but I think Kwesi's got him beat. Kwesi's definitely more of a wheeler and a dealer. And a...
Well, Rick's desire, though, was to end up with as many day three picks as possible. Kwesi's actually moving around the board a little bit more. And it feels like he's not as adamant on, like, I mean, Rick was very proud of, what was that, 3-4 years ago where 15. They had 15 picks. But, I mean, he was like, it was an NFL record. And he was, like, going around being like, oh, man, we set a record for picks.
But it's then, like, he had, like, 13 the year before or after that. I think they had 28 picks in 2 years.
Kwesi's more methodical.
Bunch of J-Ron curses running around on special teams.
Write this down.
Okay, Judd.
All right. It was very clear from the league meetings in Orlando this week that the National Football League ain't giving up on Hard Knocks. They've rearranged some of the rules. They've now declared that they're probably going to have an entire division, which could be, as Josh Metellus quickly tweeted, hey, come to the NFC North. So write this down. The Vikings will be on a version of Hard Knocks within the next 2 seasons. Okay. Like, there's in-season, there's the training camp one, there's the NFC, or there's the division one, I think, that we're going to look at. So there's no reason why. Like, O'Connell is not Zimmer. He's not going to rebel against this idea. Mm-hmm. It's good exposure. There's nothing embarrassing now. It's not like Winter Park. Hey, come in our crappy facility and see what we got going on here. They've got a great stadium. They've got a great practice facility. So the Vikings are going to be on a version of Hard Knocks within the next 2 seasons.
I feel like us three have made this prediction every single year for the last 4 years. At least one of us has to will the Vikings on Hard Knocks.
For sure.
It's kind of amazing they've never – they've been so – if you – when did Hard Knocks start? Like 2008 with the Jets or the – no, the Bengals.
Marvin.
No, that was like an 04. That's where Zimmer broke out. The first Hard Knocks was –
it's like 20 years ago.
Yeah, yes. Long,
so they've been doing Hard Knocks for 20 years basically. And I would say over those 20 years
– 2001.
The Vikings have been a top five interesting franchise. If you go back and look at like – the exit of Randy Moss into Brett Favre, Randy Moss coming back, 2000, like all the things that have happened. Bridgewater, you know, can you imagine if the cameras were there for like Bridgewater getting taken to the hospital?
No, no. 2001 was the first year with the Ravens.
01.
01, 02.
So like,
and then
Brian
there was
Billick.
And then there was a 5-year gap, though, between the Cowboys run in 02 and then the Chiefs run in 07. So there was like a 5-year gap.
That's right.
Interesting.
07, that's right, because Herm Edwards was coaching and they were doing the scrimmage at River Falls.
At River Falls,
we were all covering the Vikings. So
started a brawl.
That's right. Gosh. All right, the Dexter.
All right, first one for me, write this down. I'm not buying the whole J.J. McCarthy thing moving up the board. So write this down. J.J. McCarthy will not be drafted until at least pick 5. Hmm. He will not be one of the first 4 picks, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
I thought you were going to go stronger than that.
So. No, no, no.
I did, too. You were kind of setting that up for, like,
top 10. Like, I thought you were going to be day 3 picks.
That's fine.
I don't buy the second overall steam, so I will say
he'll
be drafted until at least pick 5 is where I'm at.
That's good. Okay. Yeah.
That's fine. That's fine.
I thought like, whoa, fast.
15. No, no, I'm not going to go down there.
A little change up.
Okay, write this down. I'm going to beat Declan to it. We have UFL football this weekend, gentlemen. That's right. Is it the United Football League? Is that what we're
United Football League? At? Two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken.
And one of those games is the, let's see here, I want to get the cities right. It's the DC Defenders against the San Antonio Brahmas.
Mm-hmm.
And I am predicting
the Brahma Bowl,
a double digit win for the Defenders. A double digit win for the Defenders.
Where's that
over
game?
The Brahmas. It lists the Brahmas as the home team. I'm assuming they play in home because one of those leagues, maybe it was the
USFL AAF. During the pandemic played in one place, but okay. Yes, you're correct.
So I believe it's a home game for the San Antonio Brahmas. So it's a road game for
so
DC.
You're having the
a double digit road victory. Yeah.
So they're going to impose their will on the Brahmas in San Antonio.
That is correct. Yep.
Brahma
it's going to be. A blood
it's bath. Like the Alamo all over again.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
Sure. Okay, Zachariah.
All right. Let me look at my notes. Okay. One, write this down. One of Kwesi's draft picks, so 2022, 23, or 24, will be voted into the Pro Bowl in 2024. And that includes like alternates. Like if someone skips out to go to the play in the Super Bowl,
sure,
they're yeah. a reserve that gets brought up.
Okay. Sure.
Why do we do that now since there is not a game? Like
our contracts tied to Pro Bowls?
Yeah, I think
yes,
I think
yes, a lot of contracts.
Yeah. They are, but I mean, can't we just be like, hey, these are the teams? And then a guy's like, I sprained my ankle. You're like, yeah, okay. Then
oh,
if you
I see what you're saying. You're saying why name alternates?
Right.
Not why name
why
Pro
do
Bowls?
We bring no. other guys to like take part in like bikini surfing or whatever it is? They
yeah,
do
bikini
now.
Surfing.
That's exactly one yep. of the events. It's crazy. Yeah.
I mean, I just don't
event.
Understand it. I don't know. Hey, you know what? That might be an idea. Roger Goodell, bikini surfing, Pro Bowl.
He's not going to strike that one, I
yeah.
think.
Yeah. I think that was an XFL idea when it first launched 24 years ago, but yes.
We're going in the cheerleaders'
yeah.
in the cheerleaders
they literally did that.
Room.
Coming up next, we're going to have a live God. Cam in the cheerleaders.
Can you imagine dude. Doing that now?
Matt Baskirchen, I'm uncomfortable.
And then they
what
fired his ass.
What happened to Matt Vaskersian, by the way? What's Vince he doing now?
Oh, he's doing MLB Network.
He's on MLB Network, I believe.
And I think he might. He was doing some Angels TV
yep,
stuff.
He was doing okay. Angels stuff. I love Matt. Matt's good.
I just feel like him. He deserves a bigger platform.
And brought your guy JR in.
Yeah, he's the Angels.
In 2001.
He's still the. He's an Angels play-by-play guy, and he is still on MLB Network.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Write this down.
Oh, he's solid.
We squared that away. Okay, Judd.
All right. The NFL will have a clarification to the swivel hip drop tackle rule within the first 2 months of the season. In other words, they will come out with, and say there's going provide clarification. Like there will be some type of clarification change to it. I think it's going to be a mess.
So like a press and, release or like Kevin Seifert obviously yeah, still does like some yes. of the ref stuff, right?
Yeah. So, and it will be an official story.
Okay.
So I'm not saying like, Schefter will report people are unhappy with it. This needs to be, Dex, you're exactly right, a press release, a story. There's going to have to be, if nothing else, some clarification to it. Because I think officials are going to start calling it. And as I said before, this is a bang-bang play, and it's a 15-yard penalty. It's going to be a real pain in the ass.
Do you think the answer has to be yes? With how many rules there are now in the NFL – and we love to pile on officials. It's amazing because we think officiating keeps getting worse in all these sports. Like, no, your TV keeps getting bigger and higher definition. You're literally watching the game on a 70-inch 4K definition TV, and you think that the officials are getting worse. Like, no, they're showing you 14 replays at super slow-mo, right? So there's that whole microscope. But then there's also just every year there's some new clarification, a new addition. There's got to be every week referees that are sitting out there just like, I don't even know what
yeah,
I'm watching.
At.
It's why the
is
best ones
legal?
Quit.
Is it illegal? I have no idea.
It's why like 2 years ago, like everyone has gone and become a rules expert. It's because
yeah.
the job sucks.
Do you think Mike Pereira right. gets Mike Pereira probably gets paid $1 million a year, $500,000 a year?
Well,
I mean,
so,
yeah. I bet that Gene Steratore, who is the he's really good too, but. He's the rules official for NCAA basketball for the
yeah.
tournament
yeah.
and does football stuff.
Met him before.
I
nice
bet
guy.
He's close. Yeah, he's really good.
Nice
too.
Guy.
But it's funny because like that big play at the end of one of those games where it was like NC State and whoever and the ball, there's
all
a
the...
big play toward the end and the ball is like goes off the NC State player's yeah. pinky, but it's still on the hand of the Oakland player. Yeah. And people are like, these refs are idiots. Like, you're literally watching wow. on a 70-inch TV, super slow-mo, yeah. high-def replay.
Well, and also at some point in time, can we just, as Stan Van Gundy said, can we just play basketball? Like these calls are bang-bang, some of these. Like, do we really need to see the ball, like, just sort of going
but
up?
Then they, but if you're just going to play basketball, then you can't show that replay. You can't show that replay and then.
Well, right.
Like,
that's what I'm saying.
We saw what happened,
but
I
that's
guess
what
we're
I'm
not
saying is
acknowledge it.
They dissect it. Let's just. My patience there oh. is the same as Declan's. Let's just move on.
Let's get a resolution.
Ball.
Let's get a resolution.
I need to watch ball.
Interesting.
I want a resolution on that one. The quarterback yeah. one, I don't need that. But right yeah, that down. One I do.
Gotcha.
Declan.
All right. I'll make a UFL prediction too. AJ McCarron, who's still playing for the St. Louis Battlehawks,
just signed.
Mm-hmm. He kind of came, but he was with the Bengals still, right? Or he was with, I think, was he with an NFL roster at the end of last season? I thought I maybe heard that. Anyway,
I feel like he was an option for the Vikings when they chose to trade for Josh Dobbs.
Right. I think that is correct. Mm-hmm. But write this down. He will account for at least 3 touchdowns this week against the Michigan Panthers. AJ McCarron.
Okay. All right.
If you're McCarron, you should be dominating that league, right?
Oh yeah.
Or you should mm-hmm. just be ashamed of yourself. Mm-hmm.
He's kind of an older man in that league too. He's in his I think he's like 32, 33 years old.
Yeah. That's what I would love to do. Just be like, you're like a third string kind of fringe quarterback in the NFL, but you're in your 30s. You've seen enough football. Just go slinging around the UFL for like $50,000. But just show everyone who's boss.
Spent the final 6 weeks of the season on the Bengals roster.
Bengals, yeah. He was back with the Bengals. They drafted him.
Phil was right. And yeah, he's okay. 33 years old.
Though. Write this down.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
The Vikings so they've already traded up once. The Vikings will trade up at least 2 more times. So they will trade up at least twice between now and the end of the NFL draft. Could be up from 11 to 5, and then maybe late. Maybe they trade up in the 7th, and I sort of backdoor this. But they will trade up at least 2 more times in this draft.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
All right, cool. Back to Zachariah for your 3rd and final.
Okay, before I have my last one, got to take a drink of the free Big Buddy I got from Quick Trip.
My guy.
Hey,
the rewards, the Quick Trip rewards.
Yeah. Zachariah's my guy.
One more.
What do we got here?
And I got to bring my beagle in here. This is Sadie.
Sadie.
Who's a good Sadie?
Oh, so pretty.
Sadie.
All right. So you're going to have to tell me this if this is a touchdown or not. If I need more, I can be a little more specific. But 16 of the last 20 offensive rookies of the year were top 12 draft picks. Only 4 were not. So write this down. The 2024 Rookie of the Year will not be drafted in the top 12 picks.
That's the clarification there. Precedent. You did the research there. Yeah. If you could put in parentheses, Dex, that this is a touchdown. Okay. Yes, that's a touchdown.
It's for research.
If pressed for specifics, so this is off the record then, Spencer Rattler is my guy. He's going to go in round 2, and he is going to blow some people's minds.
Whoa!
I love it, dude. I've seen a couple people like draft scout people on Twitter who have said the same thing about Spencer Rattler, that he's just been written off, you know, because his college career kind of went a little sideways. But that's an interesting one. So why do you think that about Spencer Rattler? Do you watch a lot of Spencer Rattler games? Are you on some dark corners of Spencer Rattler YouTube? Where are you getting that from?
Dark web.
So I think he's got a lot of gunslinger in him that. Pair him with the right coach. So he's one of those guys that he does a lot of things right and then has 3 or 4 brain dead moments in a game and just does some really dumb things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you pair him with the right coach. Like if he was drafted by Minnesota and put in that offense, he'd be Nick Mullins on steroids, you know? And I think that
8 interceptions,
when it comes to stuff like offensive rookie of the year, the voters don't seem to care so much about the mistakes as they do the high-end play. So he would put a whole lot of stats up and a whole lot of high-end play, and they'd be like, yeah, we'll just ignore the 17 picks that he threw this year. And, you know, so that's my thought.
Love it, dude. Awesome stuff. Zachariah, great predictions from you here. Since you've got this life-changing platform, is there anyone in your life you'd like to thank that helped you get to this pinnacle moment?
So shout out to my mom, who raised me in central Wisconsin, but still managed to corrupt me into being a Vikings fan. So, you know, shout out to her. And then a quick shameless plug to my metal band, Blue Fire Horizon. Go and check it out. Listen to it anywhere that you listen to music. And all my bandmates are super cool. And I'm the only Vikings fan in a room full of Packer fans who give me a lot of crap about it. So
awesome, man. Awesome. Well, thanks again for coming on, dude. And good luck with your predictions. And we'll get you on again sometime.
Thanks for having me.
Good,
there he is, Zachariah, taking a half day off work just to hang out with us here.
Metal band.
Fire. Yeah, I'm on a Google.
Bury the lead. Bury the lead.
Googling them right now.
You know, if you have a band and you want to, you know, for anyone going forward, if you have a band and you want to jump on and, you know, play a couple bars, you're welcome to on Wednesdays.
Oh, absolutely. Right, heavy metal too.
That Quick Trip drink, you know, let's talk about that for a second there, Judd.
I think it was the rewards card you might have had too there, Judd.
Look at that from Declan. Everyone's
Quick Trip rewards program.
Be like Declan. Be like Zachariah. And you know what? Be a customer at Quick Trip. And I want to talk to you because, you know, Dex has the rewards card. Zachariah had the soda. or the pop, as I call it. But you know what? They've also got delicious choices for food. And I'm not talking snacks. I'm not talking, yes, they've got snacks, but they also have chicken, fried chicken, chicken tenders, roasted whole chicken. In fact, you know what? Put their chicken mano a mano against the competition, and you know who's going to come out with a TKO? Or hell, a KO. It's going to be our friends at a Quick Boneless Wings as well. Chicken tenders, 3 or 8 piece. Fried chicken bone-in, 2 or 8 piece. They got the quality gas guarantee. I could go on and on, but just write this down. Make your next stop Quick Trip.
All right. Shout out to our friends at Nicolet Law. So Nicolet Law is here as the exclusive personal injury law firm of Purple Daily. You may have seen a Nicolet Law billboard or maybe two around the Twin Cities. There's our guy, Russell Nicolet, right there for the YouTube audience. Nicolet Law is proud to serve the communities they live in here in the Twin Cities. They're just your normal everyday folks, the ones you see at the gas station, walking the dog at your local watering hole. They're just normal folks who also happen to have law degrees, and they're here to help you if you have an injury. You can find out more at 1-855-NICOLET or go to NicoletLaw.com. Get Nicolet, the award-winning injury lawyers. All right, one final trip around the room, and then we're going to go through the very disrespectful NFL over-unders that came out earlier this week.
Write this down.
But, Judd, what's your third and final prediction?
So, speaking of that, I feel like we've talked about this, but it's probably, and I get why, the quarterback situation for the Vikings is so huge. But I feel like we're not probably talking enough about what this team is doing on defense, how they're changing things. Again, in fact, at O'Connell's presser yesterday, in Florida, he talked about the fact that the Shaq Griffin addition is going to allow them to move, it sounds like, Byron Murphy Jr. inside full-time now. So, like, this team is making upgrades at defense, and the defense already came around last year and played pretty damn well. So write this down. The Vikings will be ranked in the top 10 in scoring defense this coming season. This is going to be a top 10, dare I say, off the record. They could be pushing top 5. But I think this defense... I think when you're slotting in, first of all, improvements other than the loss of Hunter, but you're also slotting in more guys that probably fit what Flores wants to do. And O'Connell specifically said they are going to pull back snaps on Harrison Smith, on Harrison Phillips, like that they overworked those guys and wore them down. There's going to be more depth here as well. Top 10 scoring defense.
Okay. All right. The Dexter.
All right, good little soft launch into that next topic. So the Vikings, yeah, are at that 6.5 win total at majority of sports books. So write this down. Between now and the start of the season, the Vikings projected win total at sports books will at least go up to 7. So my thought process here is they're going to see them draft a rookie quarterback. There's going to be more steam about the Vikings having a good training camp, and that number is going to go up. I don't think it's going to go up significantly. I think... we'll get into this, but like I think that is an incredibly disrespectful number at 6.5. Or at least if you're a better, you should be hammering that over right now. You should lock that in right now. So write this down. The Vikings projected win total at sportsbooks, DraftKings, FanDuel, wherever we want to look at, that will go up to at least 7 between now and the start of the season. Write it down.
Yeah, and we'll definitely get more into it here in like 2 minutes, but it's so interesting that I think what's happening is The sports books are looking at Kirk leaving, quarterback uncertainty, right? And they're looking at the second half of the season. Boy, look how much of a train wreck that team was without Kirk.
Yep.
But you're not running Nick Mullins out there for 17 games. You're not running Jaren Hall out there or Josh Dobbs. And people say, well, but Sam Darnold. Okay, well, Sam Darnold with the Carolina roster in 2022, they were 4-2 in the 6 games that he started. I'm not saying he's Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes, but... if Sam Darnold were to start the entire season, if his teams could win 4 games out of 6 in Carolina with that team 2 years ago, give me this roster. Give me these weapons. Give me that defense. So I'm with Dex on this. Okay, my final prediction, we'll get back into the overruns. Okay.
Write this down.
Is I'm going to piggyback off Judd here. I don't know that they're going to be like a top 5 defense, but I think Brian Flores, write this down, will get a head coaching interview, at least one head coaching interview after this season. So I'll say like during the head coaching cycle. So put an end date of by March 1st. He'll get an NFL head coaching job by March 1st, or not job, interview by March 1st of 2025.
Gotcha.
Ergo, the lawsuit is probably settled by then, because it feels like that's the linchpin.
It wasn't settled when he was interviewing with the Cardinals a year ago.
But I mean, now it feels like how did he not get a sniff last January? Well,
defense kind of fell off a map. The whole team kind of cratered. Okay. There was a bunch of Jim Harbaugh was available. There was some.
Still, I think it was the league. Sorry.
So we'll see. I'm sure that loss will get settled at some point. But those are your write that down predictions.
Write this down.
Your accountability session.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Okay, let's the over unders here. Let's just dive into the Vikings part of it first, and then we can go through. So the Vikings are listed at 6.5. I'm getting this from DraftKings. Only four teams are below the Vikings. There's a few others at 6.5. So Cardinals are 6.5, Raiders, Giants. The Broncos are 5.5. The Titans are 5.5. Patriots 4.5. Panthers 4.5. So is it a correct statement to say that there are only four teams definitively worse than the Minnesota Vikings right now?
I think it's a correct statement to say that there are, and I think Declan's right. I think there's enough question marks, but it's pre-draft. And it feels like Vegas and the books ordinarily go low. I want to say that the win total coming off the 13 win division title in 22 was what, Phil? 8.5? 8?
I think it was 8.5 for the most part.
And that felt low, but it ended up being. So I think if they draft a quarterback, I think it changes that, especially high. I don't know that Vegas expects the Vikings to be as bad as they are just skeptical right now. But I do agree. Like, I think Declan's on the right path. Now, it's not going to go up a ton, but I think it definitely shoots up to 7-something by the time we kick it off.
As constructed right now, like Sam Darnold running the offense, do you think the Vikings can win 7 games in 2024? And I think as a Vikings fan, just as a Vikings fan, not as a national person, because I think there's questions there. As a Vikings fan, do you think you can run into 7 wins this year? If you go 7-10,
sure.
Which on paper is still unsuccessful. I think you can. I think you totally can. Now, once this number probably does, if it does go up and you're talking 7.5 or 8, okay, that would be a sweat. I wouldn't feel comfortable about that just yet. But as constructed right now, with the defense being overhauled, with the weapons still in place, with Kevin O'Connell getting the most out of quarterbacks, do I think the Vikings can win 7 games? Yes, 100%.
Yes, this feels like, even with a bad quarterback, it feels like a 7-win roster. And here's another way to look at it. Let's say you were to plop. Let's say they nail the rookie quarterback. They get the C.J. Stroud of 2024. They go get Drake May. They go get Jaden Daniels or maybe J.J. McCarthy. And I don't know that they would throw J.J. McCarthy right into the fire as a 20, 21-year-old with Sam Darnold. But let's say you go get Drake May and he clicks right away. Don't you think this team is like an 11-win team? Like with a really good dynamic quarterback, with this roster, with these weapons, with this defense, with Brian Flores.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm with Dex. I think 6.5 is a little disrespectful. To say that there's only four teams definitively worse than the Vikings, maybe it's a homer take, but give me the over.
Yeah.
I agree with you, but I can see where it comes from. Yes, I think that this team can win. I think with Darnold playing quarterback on this team, 7-8 wins is not exactly this, oh my God, I can't. And look, the history of this franchise is that happens, right? Yeah. Like they get competent enough play. The defense is definitely improved, and you do have weapons offensively. But look at the question marks from a national perspective. Quarterback, TJ Hockenson. We have no idea when he comes back. Like, there's enough questions that if you were to sit down and put odds across the board on 32 teams, I get right now where this comes from.
And they won 3 games last year with quarterbacks not named Kirk Cousins. They went 3-9 in games started by quarterbacks not named Kirk Cousins. So that's obviously only 12 of the 17 games. But still, I totally think this team can run into 7 wins at the very least with Sam Darnold and obviously even with a rookie quarterback.
Like those non-Kirk Cousins quarterbacks, this is one of the arguments that just drives me insane. It's, well, you got what you wanted. Look what they look like without. The answer to life after He Who Shall Not Be Named was not a lifetime of Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. You're on the hunt to find someone better. And Sam Darnold, make fun of him all you want, clown him all you want. No, he's not one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. But Sam Darnold is a better version of himself the last 2 years than he was with the Jets track situation. There's a reason why he was a top five pick. He's going to give you a better chance to win games than Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. So, yeah, we're outraged over, like, the difference between 6 wins and 8 wins, but and that's not the goal of this show. It's much beyond that.
And we did not get, just to be very, very clear, in retrospect, at least personally, I did not get what I wanted, which was more defeats.
So, yeah, think about the situation they'd be in lost that Raiders game.
But, this is what drives me nuts about Kirk's out, but they can still win. And then what pisses me off is I fall into that trap. Like, Dobbs plays that great game against the Falcons and then Saints. And I'm like, oh, hold on a second here, idiot. You're so right. Like, think about if you had the 6th pick right now. Like we're talking about.
It'd be an easy move up to 4,
and
up
you
to
wouldn't
three.
Be giving up your 25 first. Like, we wouldn't be discussing that. Just for a point of reference, do you guys have what the Texans projected 2023 win total was at this time last year?
Well,
I'd just be curious on that.
I will say, I believe the Bucs were like a 4.5 or 5.5 win team going into 2023, and they obviously destroyed that.
And I thought they'd be terrible.
Here, let me,
I'm just
let
curious because the Texans clearly hit on the pick, and it changed the trajectory of their franchise.
Here's one from September 4th of 2023.
I bet they're like 4.5 or 5.5 at the moment.
The Texans were 6.5.
Oh,
okay.
The Cardinals, the Buccaneers were 6.5.
Interesting.
The Cardinals were 4.5. The Rams were 6.5. So Rams, Buccaneers, Texans all blew away their projection. Colts were 6.5, blew it away.
Care to guess what the Falcons is for this year, Judd?
Oh, it's going to be high. It's going to be high because I'm going to guess it's
9.5.
9.5.
I've seen 10.5 on DraftKings and Bet Online.
Oh, interesting. Okay, FanDuel has 9.5 right now, but
there's some 10.5s out there for old Kirky boy. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Mm-hmm. It feels like they tried to keep it pretty low. Like, unless you're the Chiefs, it feels like the books ordinarily hedge on. They'll be good, but won't be as good as the fans think.
I want to get to this mock. Let's definitely, maybe for a hard count here in the next, maybe like early next week, or maybe even tomorrow. We'll see where we can make room for it. We should literally go through all 32 over unders and just
pick them.
Stop when you get to. We don't have to do all of them, but like we'll go through them and you stop when you get to a weird number.
Yep.
And like
love it.
When I was going through in my head, when I got to that Falcons 10.5, I was like, guys, if you're a Falcons fan, here's what you signed up for. You're going to go from 7 wins to 9 or 10 wins, and it's going to be great for you. Maybe you get to 11, but I think it's more likely you're more like a 9 or a 10-win team. And you're going to go from a non-playoff team to getting into the first round of the playoffs. And you're going to have weapons that operate, a functional offense. It's going to be great for you. But that is it. This whole, like, 10.5 over the 10.5 thing, calm down, Falcons fans.
Well,
take a deep breath, calm down.
And in that division, they should make the playoffs. But if Tampa Bay continues to ascend, like, remember, this could be 2018 in purple all over again.
Yeah, it's going to be
late season letdown.
Be interesting for them.
What a mock!
Mock!
Judd alluded to this on the other episode. We have 2 episodes of Purple Daily on your feed here today. This is from ESPN.com's Matt Miller, and he has a 7-round mock draft, boys.
And it's good.
7 rounds. Holy cow. Let's go through every single pick, 257.
Start the last pick of the 7th round and then work your way
backwards.
Out.
Yeah. So we'll go through the first round here, and then we'll touch on Vikings. He's got the Bears taking Caleb Williams, the Commanders taking Jaden Daniels, and then a trade at number 3 where the Minnesota Vikings are now on the clock. He has the Vikings moving up for Drake May, quarterback, North Carolina. And the trade is he's got them sending the 11, the 23, and a 2025 first rounder to New England for this third overall pick. The Patriots have a hole at quarterback, but it's less dire in the short term since they have a solid bridge in Jacoby Brissett. The extra draft capital would allow for a better roster building period here under the new leadership. That makes some sense for them, right? Patriots, just calm down here. Just
I think this makes perfect sense. Like, the Patriots are not a quarterback away. And yes, this is a great QB draft.
Yeah.
But aren't the Carolina Panthers the poster child for, well, we're just going to take our quarterback and then what are you going to do?
Yeah, the Patriots would wreck. They would, a defensive head coach, first-year coach, they would wreck Drake May. Totally agree.
So why not just stockpile and take guys, and now you've got three first-round picks over a two-year period? Like, the Vikings, you know, they got their faults, right? But it's not going to be surprising if the Vikings, at least in 2025, are really good.
Agreed.
If the Patriots are good that quick, I will be astounded. And look, they had years of success. Eventually, you pay for that a little bit.
Yeah.
So just take our draft picks, be done with it, go to Boston. You draft David Ortiz, perhaps. I don't know. But that, to me, I love that, Mock.
Number four, the Denver Broncos are on the clock.
Yeah, this might happen too. Sean Payton wasn't joking around, I don't think, about this.
So he's got, does he have the trade here? I don't even know. But he has them trading up with whatever assets they may or may not have to take J.J. McCarthy at number four. So four quarterbacks off the board in the first four picks.
Yep.
And then the Chargers, if this happens for the Chargers, where Jim Harbaugh pumps the tires of J.J. McCarthy for 2 months and gets four quarterbacks selected so that they can take Marvin Harrison Jr. at number five. Bravo, Los Angeles Chargers. And then I'm just going to kind of scroll through here and see, because I'm looking at this for the first time. Bo Nix, 13 to the Raiders, is the next quarterback off the board. Mm-hmm. And then where's our guy, Michael Penix? Not a first-round pick. Not going to be drafted here.
This is where I'm not first sure round. He's right about this.
He's got Penix tumbling to the 47th pick, the New York Giants. Okay. Interesting. Okay. So that's a good spot for him. He could just kind of chill there for a year behind Daniel Jones, maybe take over in like week eight. So obviously the Vikings have no other picks in the second or third round. We get to the fourth round where, with the number 108th overall pick, the Vikings select cornerback from South Dakota, Miles Harden. And then, what's their next pick? The 129. Mm-hmm. Defensive end Notre Dame, Javonte Jean-Baptiste.
Love that.
It's a great name. Javonte Jean-Baptiste.
That's a great
name. Here to sack your quarterback.
He could play basketball. He could definitely play hockey.
I think more of a hockey name than a basketball name.
Or, you know, Ricky Bobby might be a race car driver or something.
He's an Indy. He's an F1 driver.
Yeah.
Ricky Bobby.
Okay, in the fifth round, Matt Miller has the Vikings taking Louisville running back Isaac Grendo. Didn't Tyler Fornes stump for him in one of our conversations? Grendo, pretty sure. And then he's got, with the 167, the Vikings taking Auburn cornerback Nehemiah Pritchett. Sounds like a cornerback name. With the first pick in the sixth round, Matt Miller,
crazy,
putting in the work here, has the Vikings taking Tulane wide receiver Jaquan Jackson. And then he has the Vikings, don't they have a second six-round pick here? I think they did. I don't have it in front of me. You see me scrolling. Okay, in the seventh round with the 230. Here we go. Oh, yeah, they have two seventh-round picks. The Vikings take wide receiver from Georgia, Marcus Rosemy Jack Saint. And then with the 232.
You've lost me now.
They take Ole Miss defensive end Cedric Johnson.
I want a mock.
There's your seven-round mock from Matt Miller, ESPN.com.
Way to go, Matt.
Let's go, Matt.
I love your trades,
though. Putting in that work, dude.
I love your trades, Matt.
Love your work, guy. So, okay. That's a wrap on two episodes of Purple Daily here today. 1 month until the greatest night of the year, the Purple Daily Draft Party at the Fillmore. 5 o'clock doors, 7 o'clock, we go live, maybe shortly before that. And we'll see what happens between now and then. We'll have an OG edition of Write That Down on the Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd podcast feed, plus the Score North YouTube channel. And you can find our third YouTube channel now, the Score North Twin Show YouTube channel that we just launched a few weeks ago. So thank you, guys. We'll see you tomorrow for Thursday.